And I have one piece that I wrote that, as you may hear, is gargoyles for violin and electronic band, which I wrote for Max Polakoff in 61. Well, that gets played by records and even in concerts quite regularly, and nobody thinks anything of it except that they like it as a piece of music, which is what I want. Mm-hmm. That's what I like. I like that. I don't like it to be just a novelty.
In other words, you oppose thinking of it as a separate entity or as a freak.
I do.
You
want to
bring it into the mainstream.
I do, but I mean, I do because possibly my training, my age, I don't know, that may be. And that's why, as I said before, there may be some people around who just, well, I know there are some people in Europe who think that if you think the way I do, you're definitely an old square. That in order to be with it, whatever it is, you've got to do something that is programmed, that is computerized, and that has this kind of a homogenized texture. I won't say that they may not be right. That I won't say, but I still think that this eclectic mixture is a very healthy one. I don't like, for instance, the paintings much that are nothing but red. I like to have other colors in, too. I mean, you have those. There's black. There's these wonderful black paintings. They're just nothing but black. I look at them sometimes. But on the whole, I like color. And in the music, I like this variety of sound. And I quote here by Ray, who said something very good. He said, you know, speaking of this business about whether you should discard everything or not, he said, you know, Lina, just because we have the aeroplane, there's no reason why we shoot all the horses. And I would say that I subscribe very much to that. Another thing is that I don't think that you can make these great. I didn't see too many upsets. See, I was very close to the Dada movement in series. I was out in the middle of it. I was affected so much by the Futurist movement, which was even a little before that. Then the 20th century had a big blow-up that came east, as you know, out of those innovators not the 20th century, but the 1920s.
Yeah.
And then you've got the electronic thing and the post-labouring coming in. And you get just a little bit. You see them come and go, you know, and then they come back. So that a lot of things that are going on now were there when Dada started, and they come back in another form. So originality doesn't take on quite the same importance that it does when you're young, very young. How original can you be, anyhow? I mean, there's people around, and trees, and animals, and I don't know. I guess if you'd be perfectly original, nobody could notice you at all because you'd be so original that you couldn't be recognized. And in that case, when you get too original, they lock you up somewhere. And I don't know. I like to see music as and the arts as a long tradition and an honorable one. And it's a long tradition of the honorable tradition of life. The sciences, they're long and honorable, and the immediacies that we have so much of it, there's always this immediate, instant coffee, instant gratification, instant everything, instant burial, instant birth, too much. It doesn't give nature any chance to grow, and it's uncomfortable. And I think that goes for the arts, too. It hits us there, and I feel in that way glad when these people come up and talk the way they're talking now. You can't talk that way all the time with people who come around and see you. Even some of your old friends say, oh, well, you know, that isn't the world the way it is anymore. And some of the younger ones come along and don't know what you're talking about because they weren't there.
So you see a continuity between your early days and
now? Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think the best computer is a human being, because when we remember something or we get a notion or a hunch, it's the accumulation of our whole experience, that everything that we've had in us suddenly comes to a focus, and then we decide that we're either going to do this or write something down or take a walk or call up somebody or go and get a job teaching or do something. We do that because of a lot of accumulated experience that's happened, which serves both as a direction and at the same time as a break. Of course, if you get scared and it's too much of a break, you never move. And if you get think only of the future, that a lot of people do, you know, there's sort of this mass amnesia that's come over us, where people you almost are supposed to forget everything you ever knew. If you can remember anything from one day to the next, they think you feel that. It's because you're supposed to live in the moment and then forget each moment as it ticks by. Why? I don't get it. Pleasant moments, you might as well think about once in a while. And actually, it matters when you get older. It's a very strange thing. I did bear me out on this, Bob. That as you get older, you have a very funny... You reminisce somewhat. You go back, as we did today. But you're not really going back because you're thinking of the good old days. That isn't it. You go back because you want to get that perspective, so that from the perspective and the memory of how these things came about, you get onto a new plateau for now. And you need that background to make the plateau you're on now solid, so that you can move forward into the next future instead of into the nursing home. Mm-hmm. You see, we have a very good nursing home syndrome that keeps us going. It's fine. You have this choice, this elegant choice of being dumped in a nursing home somewhere or putting it together a little, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer the latter.
I think you've summarized very beautifully the purpose of Dr. Whitney's whole series, which is called In Retrospect.
Well, that's nice. That was a good guess, then. That's a pure intuition. That's the human
perfect
computer.
Intuition.
The computer, that's
well,
right.
Well, intuition is a very important part of a musician's life.
It's the immediate computer. You add it all up, and then you take it that way, you know. Move the tempo a little bit.
Mr. Berman, Otto? Pat, thank you enough. This has been a delight to us.
Well, I was very happy that this all came about.
And I learned some things that I didn't know. I knew you were our friend, but I didn't realize you were a benefactor as much as you were.
Well, you know, it was a sort of a mediator. Yes. A coordinator. It was one of those fortunate things in life.
Well, when I talked to Charlie about this the other day, he said, of course, you know, we were very, very lucky. He said, I had to be elected mayor when I was.
That's correct.
And he said, we had to get this grant when we got it.
That's
and
correct.
He said, we had to do all these things. And he said, we were just very fortunate that they all happened when they did.
That's
it
right.
Could never have happened any other time.
Yeah.
So that's another thing we can be grateful for.
Well, you see, Bob Lee, he was the one, though. It's the idea that works, because if we told him, well, you better get down and see what's going on in Louisville. There's some things there in court.
Well, you know, he has fascinating ideas now of making it a tourist center for European
Charlie?
Tourists. Yeah. He goes to the tourist bureau.
What is he? Is he with Finley still?
Oh, no. He's retired, you know. And
is he retired?
Oh, yes. But his mind is as active as ever.
He said he couldn't. He told me the last time I heard from him that there was some talk about running him for senator, but he said he couldn't afford it at that time. He had to get his daughter.
He was going to the House of Representatives.
He was how long? One term.
One term, yeah.
I don't think he enjoyed it that much.
Said he couldn't afford it to get the kids to go to his girls' college. And
I don't know.
How's Miss Nancy?
She's fine. She has been very successful, you know, with that project of hers, you know, where you can buy the whole set.
Oh, George, that was the miniature. Well, she was working on that. That was another thing.
Yeah, but she runs that.
Did she run that whole thing?
Yes, and she was very,
that's very good, though.
I know.
Because that was one of his schemes where he was way ahead of a lot of thinking of the librarians and stuff.
Right.
Because he said, we'll never be able to, you know, we'll get this information. We've got to find out some way of storing it so
that's
it
right.
doesn't take up enormous buildings all the time.
With the whole works, the United States Constitution mm-hmm. and all the mm-hmm. writings of Hamilton and everybody else, all in one small room.
Sure.
And you see an ad in the paper every once in a while. It costs thousands of dollars to buy the whole thing. But when you've got it, you've got everything there is.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything.
Remarkable for people.
But there's the kind of thinking he does, and he's still doing it. He says, after all, where is there a more attractive place for European to visit than Louisville?
Well, that's a lot of truth in
that. You know, there's the Mammoth Cave, there's
right.
the Lincoln Brook Cave, there's
right.
the Bluegrass, there's the Horse Farm.
Right.
There's Louisville itself, which has been very much improved in many ways,
yeah.
from the riverfront, that is. And then you go on, well, you know how he is. He starts out on one of his inspirational speeches and you find yourself completely
in
France.
He really
yeah.
twirls around.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Your head swings.
Very unusual man.
Remarkable.
How about Skip Grimm?
Skip retired as head of the library about 3 or 4 months ago.
Oh, okay. So.
And
does he live in Louisville? Yeah.
Yes.
He's in Longmire, very strong.
I certainly will. I don't see him very often, but I make a point to say
There were a few other people, but those are the main ones.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
No,
I'll never forget that one time I had went with Charlie when I went down and my brother was in by bad shape. When Charlie came, he took me to the club. It was called the Panathic, Pandemic Club.
Yeah,
the Pandemic Club. And he said, I've got to have on a mint julep. So I started with a mint julep, whereupon he said, you can't fly on one wing, and I had another one. So then we had to go up to his house where we were supposed to meet Miss Nancy, and he was going to change his suit. We were going to some sort of an official gathering, I don't know, a dinner or something. And I sat on the porch waiting for him to change his clothes, and in came Miss Nancy with a mint julep about that high. I was, in those days, I was, I guess, a little more polite than I would be now. So I didn't do anything, but I took the thing and finished it third mint julep.
That's something.
Well, you know, I began really going to sleep, you know, sitting in that rocking chair, and I had everything I could do to keep myself from falling to sleep right on that chair. But somehow I managed it, and I just about pulled myself around. And I remember going and getting some cold water and putting it on there, getting ready for this party or some dinner. But it was a real shame. And afterwards, she told me, you know, I told her about this, and she said, "Well, I had no idea. Charlie was picking you up to the pandemic club."
Well, I tell you, strangers can get some awful surprises from them, too.
Oh,
that kind of made at home, but not the ones that are at the racetrack. But, if you've got an awful strong head, you're in trouble.
Watch it.
Yeah. It's a lethal weapon.
I loved Louisville. I did get it. One of the reasons I hadn't gotten back is because my brother died, and then his wife died. It was a rather sad wind up because he was very fond of it there and you know, these things just petered out. All of a sudden the family is gone.
What was your brother's first name?
Eugene. He was at Girdley's.
He was a vice president at Girdley's.
Girdley's still going?
His son. Son became rather famous till his unfortunate death in an airplane accident in the Philippines.
When was that?
Within the last year, few months.
I wonder if my nephew grew up with him.
He was a very enterprising young guy.
I was the filmmaker and
composed some of his own music for his films.
Did he do anything with the firm there, with Berkeley's company?
As far as I know, he left.
He didn't do anything.
He struck out on his own.
Mm-hmm. What happened to Berkeley? Is it still on? Well, my brother was vice president of it, and he was just funny. You know, this is sort of a sad story of this. He was a very talented guy, and he used to tell me, "I'm sitting here all that was in the Second War." He said, "I'm sitting all in this thing," and he said, "I don't have anything to do." He said, "They don't give me anything to do." I said, "Well, what do you do?" He said, "All I do is I expedite a thing that comes through. I don't even know what it is. It's the Manhattan Project, they call it." That was the atom bomb. And he was expediting it and getting this stuff going in this day. And I said, "Well, what's the matter with that?" Well, he said, "I don't know what's the matter. I don't know anything about it." And I couldn't care less. He said, "What I'm interested in," he had a little workshop, and he had invented some sort of a machine where you could mix your own ice cream and your own flavors by putting it right in autumn. They do that now. I saw it on television. And this is what he really wanted to do. He said, "I don't see why all of this mysterious stuff that's going on with the war and everything, what's that got? I'd like to see people happy and mix their own."
he was that kind of a guy, you know.
Do you know a club there called the Buccaneers? You ever hear of them?
No, I don't.
I once got involved with them at a game of Red Dog, and I did pretty well. I was going through town, and I made enough to pay my fare, my airplane fare, and all expenses. I mean, did they talk me into it? It was their fault. That was one of those lucky days.
You were each
supposed to be a patient. I couldn't lose, you know, one of those secret days when anything was stuck to. But the Buccaneers don't exist, then, or at least you don't know about them.
You can't depend on our members.
No, I don't know.
Well, that may be because my brother was older than I am.
Well, again, we thank you.
Well,
a thousand times for your wonderful service.